turn with me to St. Luke chapter 1. In the scripture lesson that Darren read, and I want us to look at verses 46 and 47. Our theme this morning is Mary's magnificent devotion. Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Interest in Mary, the mother of Jesus, has been growing in recent years among evangelical Christians. When she is correctly viewed by evangelical scholars, Mary is seen as one of our brightest and best examples of what it means to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. And as such, she is one that should be emulated and imitated by each and every one of us as the mother of Jesus, but more than that, as the disciple, the steadfast disciple of our precious Lord. I want you to note that Mary followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Where others deserted him, she remained and stayed devoted to him. Now, though there are some today who incorrectly magnify, glorify, and deify Mary to the point of worshiping her as the Mother of God, this should not obscure the magnificent devotion which so characterized her life. The Westminster Confession of Faith of 1647 states, "Man's chief end in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever." And I want to say to you that that completely describes this devoted saint of God. She glorified God in her life, and she enjoyed the presence of God throughout her life. No wonder Mary has been praised by countless generations as blessed among women. On this Christmas Sunday, I thought it might be a challenging task to take a closer look at this divinely chosen vessel, this highly bestowed honor that God put upon her, that of giving birth to our Savior, and just look at her life and find out the challenge that she is to each and every one of us. I want you to consider, first of all, what I'm going to call the sovereign plan. The sovereign plan that God had for Mary's life. And in saying that, I would like to just take a moment and point out to each and every one of you that God has a plan for your life. Now, you need to know that. Perhaps there are some in the congregation this morning, and you've never been confronted by the resurrected Christ. And it's never dawned upon you that God is interested in you, more interested in you than you are interested in yourself. He loved you so much that he sent his son at Christmas to die eventually for the sins of the world, which he did. And he loved you so much that he wants you to become part of his family. And not only that, but he has a plan for you. And that's wonderful to know. And he had a plan for Mary. And we read about it in the exciting words of verses 30 and 31. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now think of it, and I've mentioned this before, but it's very interesting. The God who made Eve without the help of a woman, now announces to the world that he is going to be born without the help of a man in the tiny dimensions of a baby, Jesus. Now, the process of the birth of Jesus was natural, just like every birth that takes place, even on this human planet today. But the conception of his birth was supernatural. It was without peril in history and contrary to the course of nature, because Jesus was born without an earthly father, which most of us realize. Think of what happened. By a direct act of God, The Holy Spirit formed within this chosen vessel in the womb of Mary, a body through which God took upon himself a human nature and was born as the baby Jesus. That's amazing when you think of it. It's beyond our comprehension. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly teaches that it's a mystery. You and I will never understand it. Is it any wonder that Paul writes to young Timothy, "And great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." But I want you to know that the one that God chose through whom to work this mysterious miracle was a poor, unmarried, teenage girl by the name of Mary. And I want to tell you today that in Mary, God got the very best. He knew of her deep devotion to him, of her proven character, and of her dynamic faith. So God put his sovereign plan into motion, as recorded in your Bible there in verse 35. He said to Mary, "The angel, the Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What a staggering announcement for this young teenage girl to hear. It not only baffled her, but it frightened her. To be singled out from all other women for such a blessing was disturbing to Mary. She couldn't understand why she was being selected for this high and holy honor. Not doubting, still perplexed and trusting, notice what she declares to the angel there in verse 34. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The New Living Translation has Mary asking it in these words: "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." Interesting question. So Mary, a descendant of David, devoted to a holy life, and a devout student of the Holy Scriptures, became the divinely chosen vessel that God chose to give birth to the Son of God. Let me ask you, each and every one of you, if God had a mission for you here today, would you be like Mary, ready to embrace it? No hesitation, no procrastination, no vacillating God, but just entering it, willing to accept it? Would we, like Mary, make ourselves available for God to use? Do we have such a magnificent devotion to Jesus Christ that would cause us to respond in the same spirit that Mary responded, I wonder? What a glorious day it would be for some of you husbands, and some of you wives, and some of you young people, if you and I would let the Spirit of God rekindle once again this dedicated devotion that we owe to Jesus Christ, that once so marvelously characterized our lives. But maybe somewhere along the trail, along the way, you've taken the wrong road. And you hung around with the wrong crowd. And maybe you married the wrong person. So that flame of devotion to Jesus Christ has been lowered. Instead of a flame, it's only a spark. And on this Christmas Sunday, God would love to get a hold of you in a corner and tell you how much he loves you and how much he wants to use you and has a plan for your life. Because then and only then will our lives be in the place for God to use. Let me tell you about one who, like Mary, recognized that God had a plan for her life. Didn't come early. And there could be some of you that you aren't exactly sure where God wants you and what God's plan for your life is. Well, if you were to travel to Harlem, Holland, around 1935, you would come to a crooked little house where a woman spent the first 50 years of her life living peacefully with her elderly father and her sister. Here, Corrie ten Boom lived a very uneventful life, that of a spinster, little realizing that it was only going to be a short time, that God was going to have a dynamic plan for her life. It was going to revolutionize her whole thinking and being. So when World War II broke out, this godly Christian family instinctively began providing hiding places for persecuted Jews. And for hiding these Jews, Corey, along with her sister Betsy, were sent to a concentration camp there in Holland. Sustained by her great faith and devotion to Jesus Christ, she emerged out of that imprisonment with a message that every person struggling to live a meaningful life needs to hear at this very hour. That there's meaningfulness to life. God has a purpose for your being. God is interested in you. And right up to the end of her life, she traveled the world telling her inspiring story of God's saving power and His sustaining grace. Some of you have read her book entitled Tramp for the Lord. In it, she writes, and I quote, "Looking back across the years of my life, I can see the working of a divine pattern, which is the way of God with His children." Let me just stop there for a moment. Look back over your life as a Christian this morning and begin to notice how God has directed you and led you without even realizing it. And that was taking place in the life of Corrie ten Boom. She said, "When I was in a prison camp in Holland during the wars, I often prayed, 'Lord, never let the enemy put me in a German concentration camp.' God answered no to that prayer. Yet, in the German camp, with all of its horror, I found many prisoners who had never heard of Jesus Christ. If God had not used Betsy and me to bring them to Him, they would have never heard of Him. Many died, others were killed. But many died with the name of Jesus on their lips." And then she makes this amazing statement. "They were all worth all our suffering." You know, Mary made that statement. It was worth it all. All that she went through. And we're going to delineate that in just a few moments. All that she faced. All of the persecution. All of the pain. All of the suffering. Lord, it was worth it all. And then Corrie declared, "Although the threads of my life have often seemed knotted, I know by faith that on the other side of the embroidery, there is a crown." And so there is. My dear Christian friend, you might be going through terrible trouble this morning, and you're just holding on. And I just want to encourage you to let you know there is a crown at the end of this life. And God is going to welcome you home. He's going to stand up. His Son is going to salute you if you have been faithful to Him. We can't understand all of the problems that come to each and every one of us, but they come. And like Mary of long ago, Corrie ten Boom knew that God had a divine plan for her life. And she was devoted to it. And God has a plan for your life. But He wants you to be devoted to it. Find it. Get involved with it. Get on with it. And start living for Him. Someone has written, "My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow and I in foolish pride. Forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in this skillful weaver's hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned." So no matter what you may be going through, if you are in the will of God, it really doesn't matter. Because doing God's will is the most important thing in life. And the first step in knowing God's will is, first of all, personally, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. That's where it all begins. You're the sinner and he becomes your Savior. The sovereign plan that God used in choosing Mary. And that leads me to a second thought. Having considered the sovereign plan that God used for Mary's life, let us think now, secondly, that follows, and it's going to follow, the supreme price that Mary paid for her magnificent devotion to her Lord. We ought to get it down this morning on this Christmas Sunday that it is never an easy thing to follow Jesus Christ. And you need to know that right up front. It cost Mary something, and I want to tell you it's going to cost you something. It might not cost you your life, but it certainly is going to cost you the sin in your life. You must be willing to give it up. And if you aren't willing to give it up, you cannot become a Christian. And we find that delineated upon the pages of the New Testament again and again. It's going to cost you your freedom. You cannot do as you please. Now you become his child and his slave. And I know there are some of you here today that have not been willing to pay the price and count the cost of following Jesus Christ. And that's to your detriment. And if you remain in that condition, the Bible says one day you will be eternally lost. Don't wait till the end of life and then think that you can accept Christ as your Savior, because you never know when the end of life is going to come. It cost Mary a great deal. I don't think many of us this morning have ever come to grips with a tremendous cost to Mary in order to fulfill her divine role as the mother of the Messiah. Think about it for just a few moments. Her commitment to do God's plan in her life was going to change her life forever. She didn't know it, but it was going to bring her much pain and much sorrow. Try to picture the scene for just a moment. Do you know what it means to be pregnant before marriage in that small village of Nazareth? Under Roman law, where everybody knew what everybody else was doing, much like living in a small community, North Stonington, Elliott, Maine. Everybody knows what's happening. And that's what was true during this time in Mary's life. The horrible scandal, the devastating gossip, the ravaging rumors, and almost the uncontrollable innuendos that must have circulated throughout Nazareth. And what happened, I'm sure that this meant for Mary a tarnished reputation, and yet she had to live through it. And then there was her engagement to Joseph. You know what that meant? Engagement, according to Jewish law, constituted a legal relationship that could only be dissolved by death or in the courts. Mary's apparent unfaithfulness carried a severe penalty. And according to Jewish law, the authorities could have stoned her to death if the rumors were true. Joseph, being a strict observer of Jewish law, when he found out that Mary was with child, decided to take the mildest action for such a situation and thereby save her from public exposure and shame. And as you read the account of the Christmas story, it took the divine intervention of Almighty God to convince Joseph that all that was taking place was being promoted and demonstrated by Almighty God. Listen to the words found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, regarding Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here in this listening audience this morning who thinks that Mary did not pay a price for the plan that God had for her life? I don't think so. For indeed it was a costly price. And from her lips, we read one of the most humblest and most beautiful prayerful hymns in all of the Bible, in sacred literature. It's been incorporated into almost all of our worship throughout the world and was the beginning of a fountain of praise which continues to flow forth from the redeemed of God right down until this generation and to this moment. From her lips, her heart speaks. Take your Bibles, if you have them, and if you don't, there's one in the pew. And there in Luke chapter 1, verses 47 to 55, let me read it, and you follow along. Here's Mary, this young teenage girl. Oh, how I praise the Lord. How I rejoice in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How he scatters the proud, the haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors Abraham and his children to be merciful to them forever. Have you comprehended what I've just read in those words, in this hymn of praise? Mary magnifies the faithfulness of God in his dealings with ancient Israel. Notice there, she exalts the supreme manifestation of God in the world as he is revealed in the incarnation and in his mission and the death of his son. And then she speaks of God's power and holiness and mercy. And in her song there, she makes us aware that the birth of her child was a fulfillment of a covenant promise that God made to Abraham and his people. And notice this, she testifies that a new day has dawned and that justice was about to be established. Unjust rulers like Herod the Great, who had assassinated innocent people for fear of treachery, were now to be dethroned. And notice the capstone. And in his place, Jesus, her son, would be enthroned within the hearts of his people. And justice for the poor and the downtrodden would come through Jesus by his death on the cross and by his rising from the grave for the forgiveness of sins. All of that by this young teenage girl. If there is one thing we can say this morning, we ought to get it down for the record that Mary knew her Bible. She really did. I salute those young people this morning. Any young person, any older person who has come to grips with what God has said within the book, his word. My, continue to study it. It's more up to date than the local newspaper. It's going to tell you all that's going to happen for the future. It's right there for the reading. And Mary knew her Bible. She had an understanding of the Old Testament and she praised God for his unending blessings. What spiritual insight from this expectant mother. What knowledge from this ordinary village teenage girl. She had insight into the redemptive plan of God. And she had insight into the mercy of God in the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. And she had insight into the divine principle. And what a principle it is. I hope all of us have learned it. And if you haven't, you should. That in giving to God of oneself, in dying to one's own plans and desires, will always lead to a more abundant and fruitful and productive life. Have you gotten that down this morning? The more you put Jesus Christ first and His Son, the more you love Him, the more you live for Him, it's going to lead to a productive and an eternal life. It's the principle of dying in order to live. Paradoxical. Dying in order to live. Dying to self-interest and dying to self-desires and dying to self-ambitions in order to really live in the heights of meaningful spiritual existence. That's what we're talking about on this Christmas Sunday. Just dying to the old opinions, the old way of living, throwing it out the window and saying this morning, as one who really wants to live for the Lord, Jesus, no matter what the cost, I'm going to live and serve You. That's a good principle to live by. Dying in order really to live. And Mary did that. And the sooner that we do it, the better it's going to be. Now, we are considering Mary's magnificent devotion. That's what we're talking about on this Christmas Sunday. And so far, we have looked at the sovereign plan that God had for Mary's life. And I follow that up by saying to each and every one of you that God has a plan for you. But in saying that, we noticed also the supreme price that Mary had to pay for the sovereign plan that God had for her. And you ought to get it down, friend. If you want to follow God's way, it's going to cost you something. Now, just a final word about the splendid proof of Mary's devotion. Notice the reply from her lips as she quickly and willingly responds to the words of the angel there in verse 38. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, the New Living Translation brings out Mary's response much clearer. She said, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever He wants. Now, all attention must be given to those words that I just read. Notice them now, what Mary said. I am willing to accept whatever He wants. Now, that's quite a statement. Was that really true of Mary? That she was willing to accept anything that God was going to bring her way? Do you really believe that Mary meant that in all areas of her life? Whatever He wants, I want. Whatever He desires of me, I desire of Him. Did she really believe that and mean that? That's the question I put to you. Or was she just reciting a few words? Well, before I dismiss you, let me give you the proof. Let's find out. After staying 3 months with Elizabeth, she's ready to go home and explain to Joseph and to her family and to her friends and to anyone that would listen about her predicament, her present condition. Now, I want to tell you, that would not have been an easy thing to do. Being with child without being with man. Being with child without being unfaithful. You try to explain that to family and friends, and it's going to be almost impossible. But Mary did it. And her joyful response continued right up until the child was born and after. When the Roman government called for a census, requiring Joseph, a resident of Bethlehem, to return to that town to register, Mary left Nazareth with Joseph to make that 80-mile trip across the desert, though she was 9 months pregnant and ready to deliver. She just got up and went. No hesitation. She went, poor, uncomfortable, away from her parents, traveling almost alone to a strange town, but still devoted and still trusting God. No complaints are ever recorded upon the pages of the Sacred Bible from Mary. She just went. And when she got to Bethlehem, things were even worse. About to deliver, with no place to stay, there is no record of Mary complaining or getting upset. Uncomfortable, cold, lonely, probably giving birth in the most humblest of all places, a dark and dirty stable, but still loving, still obeying, still trusting, as she gives birth to God's Son. Or what about 1 month later, when Jesus was taken to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated to the Lord? Simeon the prophet declared in mystic language that this Jewish babe of Mary would be met with opposition, rebuke, and with unspeakable suffering. And then he looked right at Mary, and he gave this painful prophecy in Luke chapter 2, verse 35. "And for you, Mary, your very soul will be pierced by a sword." Philip's translation. In other words, her grief would be like a sword piercing her soul. Sadness and suffering to come. But Mary, still devoted, still obedient, still dedicated to the God who called her, not deviating from the path, still faithful, and still later on enduring the loneliness of widowhood, raising Jesus alone, gradually giving him greater freedom until he was eventually taken away from her to accomplish his divine mission. And her heart ached as she beheld the rejection of his message by their friends and relatives there in Nazareth. And then his arrest, the denial, the betrayal, the trial, the scourging, and eventually the crucifixion by the very people that he came to forgive and he came to redeem. And being in Jerusalem, she heard it, and she saw it all with her own eyes. She was there at the cross to behold her own child's execution. And there in unbearable and indescribable sorrow, broken in heart but not in spirit, Mary's faith did not flinch and her devotion to God did not diminish. Do you need further proof this morning in the trail that I have just laid out before you that Mary had a magnificent devotion to Jesus Christ? Her personal sacrifice of herself and of her son is something that we shall never be called upon in like manner to demonstrate. But certainly the spirit in which she did it needs to be communicated to each and every one of us on this Christmas Sunday, some 2,000 years since that event happened. I ask you in closing, forget your wife for just a moment. Forget your husband. Forget your young people. I am speaking directly to you. Are you willing to pay the price that Mary paid? Are you? God is waiting to hear some of us say this morning, "Oh God, that's what I want to do. I want to live for you. I want to be the husband that God is proud of. I want to be the wife that God is proud of. I want to be the young people that God is proud of." And if you do, listen to this. You will live beyond your years as an everlasting example of what it really means to be a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, the only way that the New Testament writers found out that Jesus was born of a virgin was through the lips of Mary herself. There came that moment when she had to share that witness, and the writers of the New Testament, they wrote it down. I wonder if she ever knew, maybe she did because it was predicted, that she would literally live beyond her years. And on this Sunday, December the 24th, 2007, here in North Stonington, Connecticut, a minister of the gospel has taken 45 minutes to tell you about her magnificent devotion to Jesus Christ. Let's not leave her out of the Christmas story. And as I said at the beginning, let's begin to emulate and imitate that splendid devotion that she had for Jesus Christ. Yea, better, let's come to know intimately her Son, who died on that cross for our sins. Shall we pray?